Welcome. You're listening to the Young Changemakers podcast. In today's episode, we will explore how to step up your activism using facilitation skills. This is a Global Changemakers production. If you would like to know more about Global Changemakers or the facilitation resources we offer, visit global-changemakers.net.
Thank you so much for joining us for the first event of Global Changemakers for 2023, a step up your activism with the right skills, where you will learn about group management techniques, skills to lead groups, and other strategies young changemakers can employ to catalyze change. We're also looking forward to hearing from you. There will be a sharing and Q&A session in the end. So if you have a question or you would like to share something with the audience, we will invite you to please take the floor. And whether you're starting with your activism or you're a more experienced activist, we're pretty sure today's conversation will be very helpful for you. A little bit about myself. My name is Megan Diaz. I'm going to be the moderator for this space. And I'm a proud member of the Global Changemakers Network since 2017. Today, we're very happy to have with us four changemakers that have stood out for their activism and have broad experience leading groups. I would like you to introduce yourselves. So we would start in the following order. We will go with Sara, then Courtney, afterwards Deepika, and finally Marwan. Please let us know what is your name, where are you from, and what causes do you defend?
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Megan. My name is Sara Botero. I am from Colombia in South America. Many causes that I defend. First of all, I have been part of this network since 2010, so I'm one of the oldest. and perhaps one of the causes that I like to work on most are women and children's rights, education, and sustainability. I think that's a good summary.
Thank you, Sara. Please, let's move on with the next change maker.
It's my turn, right? I'm just confused.
Yeah, that is correct, Deepika. Okay. Sorry about that. Deepika, then, yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'm sorry. Hi, everyone. My name is Deepika Badal. I am originally from Nepal, but I'm currently at the U.S. doing my graduate studies in forestry at the Auburn University. And I'm very interested working in the field of climate and environment and youth leadership. I love working with young people and I love working with global change makers. Welcome, everyone. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Courtney. I am from South Africa, currently based in the Republic of Ireland. And my area of activism really is promoting youth empowerment and youth-led sustainable development. My background is in environmental science. However, I realized that generally, all the issues that we are facing are connected in some way. And so now I really work on developing the skills of young people like yourselves to solve these challenges. And I'm very excited to be with you all today. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Courtney. And Marwan, are you here?
Yes. So thank you for having me as well. My name is Marwan. I'm French and Egyptian. I'm studying microengineering and biomedical technologies. In Lausanne, Switzerland. So there's several causes that I care about, but I'll mention one is to help train scientists and engineers to improve their communication skills so that they can better communicate with the general public what they work on and the science, basically.
Thank you so much, Marwan, Deepika, Courtney, and Sara. Let me emphasize again that we are very happy. I'm very grateful to have you today here in this discussion. We're pretty sure you're going to bring a lot of important insights and information about your experience with group management skills because all of you have a lot of experience with it. So starting with our first question for today, why are group management skills important for young activists? Let's start with Sara. Why do you think that group management skills are important for young activists?
Thank you, Megan. I feel that when you're an activist, you will need to speak to a lot of people, including the stakeholders of a particular issue. If you are a social entrepreneur, you will have to talk to clients, or if you have an organization or a project, you will need to manage a team. So group management skills are important because you will need to organize and work with a group or a team towards a specific objective. And it is different when you are working with young people because nowadays you're very distracted. There's a lot of things that go around. There's a lot of screens, a lot of activity online, and group management skills will allow you to focus on a specific topic or something that you want to achieve and take it to the next level. So it is incredibly important.
Thank you, Sarah. Definitely agree with your points. I would like to know if maybe Courtney, Deepika, or Marwan would like to add up to what you have just mentioned.
Yeah, I'd love to jump in and just add, I think something that was so surprising for me when I first learned about group facilitation and working with groups is I didn't realize how much goes into it, you know, looking at managing the energy of the room, looking at understanding the impact of something, say, as culture on whether or not people might speak up in a group environment. And if you lead collaboratively, which I think a lot of young people really do, you know, we are very collaborative, we value our peers. It's very important to be able to recognize how to give different people from different cultures the space to speak, you know, so something like that you might not have known before, at least I didn't know that before, and really just being able to understand how to observe different people in the group, how to allow different people to speak. There's so many things that we might not know that are involved in group management that will serve you throughout your entire life. At least that's been the case for me since I first learned about this 7 years ago. So definitely a very important skill to have in activism.
Yeah, so I totally agree with Sarah and Courtney. And one thing that I would like to add up is that, you know, if we cannot communicate effectively, and then there might be a lot of cases when a lot of conflicts might arise, and group management skills are very important in resolving such conflicts as well. So adding on to Courtney and Sarah, so we all youth activists are working towards a common goal, and group management skills comes in very handy when we are working to reaching that particular goal in communicating the process and directing tasks, managing effectively and planning effectively, and actually getting to the results that we have set.
Yeah, maybe summarizing a little bit also, adding to what the others have said. As Sarah said in the beginning, when you're in a group, you have a goal. And that goal could be to, you know, trying to communicate a message, or maybe you're brainstorming, or maybe you're trying to solve a specific problem. A group management skills are kind of a tool set that are going to make the difference between either you achieving that goal that you've set for the group, or just having, let's say, 45 minutes of chaos where the goal is not going to be achieved, and also people are going to be frustrated. So learning group management skills gives you that tool set to be able to achieve the goal of the group, and also provide a much smoother experience for the people participating in the activity. So yeah.
Thank you so much for these amazing contributions. I completely agree. Group management skills are essential to reach goals and to communicate effectively as well, and solving conflicts. And one of the last points that you mentioned, Marwan, was it's a tool, right? It is a tool set that we need in order to communicate effectively.
We hope you're enjoying the conversation so far. Remember that you can access the facilitation toolkit available in our website to get lifetime access to over 40 different virtual and in-person icebreakers, group energizers, and team building activities. So make sure to check it out. All right, let's get back to the episode.
So now let's delve into specific group management tools and group management techniques. Let's start with one called energizers. First of all, I would like to ask if any one of you could please share with us what is an energizer, because maybe the audience is not familiar with this terminology. So would anyone like to share what an energizer is?
Basically, an energizer, as the name indicates, obviously, is something that you want to do when you feel like the energy of the group you're working with is starting to go down a little bit. That typically happens at several moments in the day. It'll happen very early in the morning when people haven't woken up too much yet. It'll happen after lunch when people kind of want to take a nap, or at the end of the day when people are starting to get a little bit tired. So the energizer is sort of to get people back on track and get people engaged again. And in any energizer, I think you have really two key words for me, two key things. One is movement and the other one is engagement. So you want people to be moving, like physically moving, maybe walking around, jumping around even. You want people to be engaged. By that, I mean have people interacting with each other so that they can also get their, you know, their minds back into what is happening. So for me, that's what an energizer is.
Thank you, Marwan. You mentioned two key words, so moving and engagement. And that's exactly what an energizer involves. Now I'm very interested in listening to some experiences using energizers, or if there's a specific type of energizer that you enjoy or that you guys have, girls have used with your activism. So maybe let's hear either from Sara, Courtney, or Deepika. Is there an energizer that you have used in your activism before?
Well, I can go, because whenever I think about energizers, I always remember my time in the Youth Summit in 2019 organized by Global Changemakers. There I was first introduced to my favorite energizer, Big Fat Pony. So it has a very melody, very great melody that just stucks in your mind. Here I go with my Big Fat Pony. I'm sorry for the thing that I just did. But yeah, energizers are just used to increase the energy. And I always, when I'm doing any event or session, I use energizers in the beginning of an event or after long hours of sessions, or, you know, to break up the long periods of sitting, talking, or after just heavy lunch breaks. So it helps, you know, participants to get more focused, ready to work together, and always creates a very positive and happy environment. So yeah, energizers are just great to just bring up light of the environment that you are around.
I'm just listening to you, Deepika, and I'm smiling because it's exactly that. It's like, energizers are fun. They help you set the energy of a space. You can use them online. You can use them in person, as I've done both. I use them in like something as small as a team meeting. If, you know, we were in the meeting doing, for example, a strategy session with my team for 2-3 hours, and we're all just kind of getting, you know, our heads are hurting, we've been looking at our screen, I will honestly make my team get up and do an energizer and have them move their bodies. Or, you know, I think I actually used one recently at an event that I was hosting, a workshop where it was kind of the afternoon, we'd been dealing with some very heavy topics around food security and childhood nutrition, and everyone was kind of feeling, you know, that quite a low energy, because facing those challenges head on can be very hard, you know, seeing that still how much we still have to do as change makers. And so I used an energizer to lift the energy of the room, to create a hopeful spirit amongst the crowd, and to help them kind of understand that, you know, yes, these challenges that we face as change makers are really hard, but we also have the power to solve them. And so kind of using that energizer just to almost change that energy a little bit and bring it back up to a higher vibration, if that makes sense.
And just to add to what everyone is talking, and they are fun games, activities that you can do with a group, but they have a specific goal. It's not just for fun, although they are very fun, but you can also use them all to, you were talking about increasing the energy, but also for focusing. So when you, like, before doing that that activity that Quartz was saying, that was very, you had to focus because you needed to have some very serious discussions. You can also do an energizer to focus energy because you were running around or you were in a coffee break or something like that, and then you're going to sit and analyze a difficult situation. You can also use them to break the ice when... Well, Deepika was talking about the Global Changemakers Global Youth Summit. And when everyone first came in, nobody knew each other. And you have to break the ice, do something that can connect them immediately so that the energy is not awkward. And you can also use them for team building, because there are sometimes that conflict will emerge in a group and you want them to be working together so that they communicate well. So just to add on what everyone was saying, I also felt that it was important to also say that you can use those fun activities and games to focusing, breaking the ice, team building, or increasing the energy of the room. And favorites, it's really hard for me to pick favorites because I love energizers. So yeah, I don't know, depending on what I need at the moment, then I would have a specific energizer. And that's why I love the course so much, because you can go back to it and pick a specific one depending on what you need.
Thank you, Sara. Definitely, energizers have many benefits. They can, as the name say, they can help to bring energy to the team, but they can also help for focusing, to break the ice, or for team building. And actually, we're going to be speaking more in detail about these other techniques that you mentioned, such as team building and icebreakers. Let's talk about icebreakers. What is the difference between an icebreaker and an energizer? Let's see, maybe Deepika, what are your thoughts on the matter?
So icebreaker, again, as Sara had told before, so it's about breaking the ice. So it's about getting to know each other. So icebreakers, I usually use them when we are first introduced into any kind of session where we are getting into the start of a session or an event. It helps to get to know people, get people to know each other, help people to open up and get comfortable actually in a group setting. So either in the beginning of a program, or if we want to know, just want to know each other a little bit more, want to get to know each other's strengths. So usually icebreakers are used to make the setting more comfortable so that the other process goes up smoothly. So yeah, if anyone could add on that, it would be great.
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much.
To jump in there just on what Deepika said, I think for me, I'm sure some of you can relate, I've often struggled with anxiety in social settings, feeling nervous meeting new people. It might not come across it, but I tend to be quite a shy person with new people. And so really, those icebreakers are so key just to make people feel comfortable and to feel, develop almost a sense of trust amongst the group, depending on the specific icebreaker that you can use. There's obviously ones that are a little bit more light, a little bit more fun, a little bit more active. And then there are also icebreakers that are, a little bit more, that can stimulate that deeper connection between a group. And so it's really been so wonderful for me whenever I go to an event and they have that icebreakers, because then it kind of literally breaks the ice. It gives me that freedom to be able to go up to someone and say, hi, my name is Courtney, and just have kind of break that barrier between me and other people and overcome that shyness, because the exercises help me to open up. So yeah, I love that.
Thank you, Courtney. That's right. Sometimes it's a little bit awkward to start, right? Conversations, people are thinking about many different things and you need something in order to break the ice, as the name itself mentions. So maybe just before we move on to the next technique, I would like to hear from Sara, I'm from Marwan. Is there a specific icebreaker that you like? Is there one that you have used in your activism that you consider is the best for your activity?
So if I could go first, I would say an icebreaker. I don't know if it's my favorite, it's one that I really like, but this one is used in different settings. You're not typically going to use it in a 1 hour, 2 hour event because it takes a little bit more time, but typically you could use it for a 1 day event if you've got people around for a long time. So you take 15, 20 minutes, and basically what it's called, it's a human bingo. You give every participant a sheet of paper, a bingo sheet of paper with basically some facts written on it. So it could be, for example, something like the person has traveled to 3 different continents, or the person is left-handed, and so on. And basically what participants have to do is that they have to go around the room and find people who have these attributes and have them sign their paper. And you can integrate it as a game and say whoever gets the, you know, the full human bingo, the first, or the, whoever has the most signatures at the end wins. And this is really nice because it allows people to learn about each other and also learn about sort of things that are interesting to them and that they will be happy to talk about and discuss. And that really helps that process of opening up and establishing dialogue.
Thank you so much for sharing. Sarah, sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry, I interrupted you. But I love that one, Marwan, because it's very, very fun. Perhaps someone, a specific icebreaker that I like is two truths and a lie. And it's a simple game that you can use both online or in person. And you go around the room. It has to be a smaller group because it takes a lot of time if you do it in a larger setting. But depending on how much time you have, or you can also do it on breakout rooms. That's also an option. And what you do is, so the prompt is you have to say three things about yourself, and one of those things is a lie, and everyone in the room has to guess which one is a lie. So it's great when people do not know each other at all or know a little bit about each other, and you have to guess because you say random things like, I love cookies. And in truth, that's not true because I hate a specific cookie or something like that. But it makes you think about what you're going to say. It makes you reflect on, okay, how am I going to express myself and so on, how much I want to expose of myself. And it's fun. It's really fun to do. So that would be one that I use a lot.
Thank you so much for sharing. I agree with both of you. I think the examples that you mentioned are really good in order to highlight icebreakers and the importance of them. It's very important to know others, right? And I think this last one that you mentioned is key for that. It's just not only breaking the ice, but it also helps you to know your group mates, to know who you're going to be working with. And this, at the same time, helps me to move on to the next question. There is another tool that we can use for group management that is team building activities. So first, I would like to hear from all of you, what do you think are the benefits of team building activities? Why do we need to have these type of activities when we're working with groups? Let's start maybe now the other way. Maybe we can start with Courtney now.
Sure. So I think something that I didn't know when I was starting out my journey as a change maker, but I absolutely will stand by 1,000% now, you know, 8 years later, is we cannot do it alone. Creating change needs people working together. It needs collaboration. It needs us all putting our energies towards one thing, and especially in order for sustainability. You know, if you try and tackle climate change by yourself, you're not going to be able to, you know, avoid burnout and things like that. So we have to work in teams. It's the way that we can achieve our goals in the most effective way. And, you know, with that, building teams is then a key skill to help people come together and work together towards these big challenges. And I think this is something I really failed at early in my journey as a change maker, because I would just kind of build teams because I was like, okay, I need a team, so let me just get people on board and let's just automatically work together. And I never really focused on team building in the beginning, and I definitely saw the impact of that because the communication across the team was really weak. The trust among different team members was really weak. There wasn't that kind of rapport. So it felt like although we were together in a team, we were all a bunch of individuals working towards a goal. We weren't a team working towards a goal. So I've really learned over the last few years of my journey that team building is essential. And, you know, it can take different forms. There are different activities that you can use. But it really helps to get the team to gel together, to work together, to trust each other, and to build that kind of bond between them. And so, yeah, it's just an incredibly important skill that I know because, you know, I failed at it in the beginning, for sure.
No, and I think, of course, that not only in the beginning you fail, because sometimes you will work with a team, and then at some point, conflict emerges. out of nowhere. People don't agree or people don't communicate well, even if they have worked together for a really long time. So I feel like going back to a team building activity can really help you make people aware of the need of communicating well, of being assertive at communication and understanding each other's expectations, I feel. So not only at the beginning, but at certain points of the life of a team, you need to check with people how they're doing and so on. So team management is a skill, but it's a skill that you can learn. So I feel that these activities can really help you to get out of your head in the sense of you're not rationalizing like every single move, but you are working towards a goal as a team together, communicating and finding each person's role within that task or that activity. So I think that is super important.
I just wanted to add one thing. And the thing that I love about team building activities are that whenever we are working in a team, there are different personalities within one particular group. Some people have a lot of ideas. Some people can express the ideas well. Some people cannot express the ideas well. But what team building activities does is that it allows all of such personalities to, you know, work together and bring the best of each one of them so that, you know, different ideas, unique ideas, amazing ideas will come through that team building activities that can, you know, make a lot of difference when brought actually into reality. And another thing is that, you know, you can use team building games in any forms that you wish for. For instance, you can use it for people to know each other, in form of group energizers, to increase and improve your communication, to bring trust within a people, to plan effectively. You can use in any part of the thing that you are, goal you are wanting to achieve it. So team building activities are actually one of the greatest tool that we can use as a youth activist.
Maybe to add to what the others have said, I think another aspect of team building activities is that, and I think this is particularly important in let's say professional teams and the workplace, is that people tend to, when they start in a professional team, to see the others as colleagues, and team building activity helps people see other, you know, their colleagues as not just work colleagues, but also the multifaceted people that they are, and develop relationships that ultimately really improve the trust that there is between the members of that team. And moreover, it also helps people understand the dynamics of the team and see how their talents and weaknesses that they have fit into the team and how they can work together. And it gets them to do that in a sort of safe environment, in a team building game where there isn't as much consequences if you fail or if you misstep as there is, let's say, in a real situation.
I definitely agree with all of the answers. Definitely team building activities are crucial, as you all mentioned, for building trust in your team, for communicating better, and for knowing the people in your team, right? At the end of the day, we are all different. We'll have different perspectives, but that diversity is what makes a team great. So thank you so much for sharing your insights on team building activities. So far, we have covered different tools. We have covered team building activities, energizers, and icebreakers. But there's something that we need to talk about now after the COVID-19 pandemic. We know that things have changed regarding facilitation and group management. Many of the sessions are now online. We need to work with our groups by Zoom or by other means of communication, which may make team management a little bit more complicated. So drawing from your experience, I'm very interested in hearing, what are your tips for managing group online? For managing a group online. So maybe now we can start with Courtney. Courtney, what is a tip that you would like to share with us regarding team management online?
I actually would love to hear from Sara on this point, because Sara was the person who trained me in virtual team management. So I think she might be best placed to answer this question, Sara. Sorry for putting you on the spot.
No worries. And thank you. Well, I feel that something that really helped me was that GCM was already doing things online before the pandemic, and I felt that we had already understood some of the things that were important in-person facilitation, and then we were able to translate it to online events. So you're also managing the energy of a virtual room, and perhaps you won't feel it as strongly. So that's why you need to pay extra detail. Having cameras on is very important, because then you can see the facial and verbal and nonverbal cues of people getting tired, of people, I don't know, starting to get distracted. Sometimes in a setting such as this one, in which we're only listening to ourselves, people can be, right now I'm walking, and that makes me very comfortable because I like to talk while I'm walking. And that doesn't mean that I'm distracted, but that I'm focusing the energy differently, but you know, it's different. So try to understand who you're talking to. Try to use cameras if you can. It's difficult to maintain the energy of people, because you will have like pop-up things like WhatsApps and messages coming in from everywhere. So try to set an intention for a particular activity and set some ground rules so that everyone knows, okay, we're going to be here for this amount of time doing this specific thing. Let's try to focus all our energy towards that goal. Another tip that I could give you is having a lot of energizers, taking some time to understand how each platform works so that you can use either emojis or, for example, Zoom has these reactions that you can use, and try to use them so that you can prompt people to say, okay, how are you feeling right now? And then people can use an emoji to describe how they're feeling, or that they can answer questions via the chat, because sometimes people will be a little shyer to open their cameras and their microphones to speak. So that could also be an option. And as Courtney was saying, it is incredibly important to understand how, well, both cultural differences, but also personality difference can affect or influence the way that you work in a group. So these are only a few tips that I can give you, but in general, you have to pay extra attention to a work meeting or a special activity that you're doing online, because people will be more distracted. And how do you attract that energy? How are you yourself prepared, and how you prepare your physical space and your virtual space to be present in that conversation or in that game, activity, meeting, whatever it is. I could talk for like 3 hours on the subject, but I want to listen to someone else that wants to add something or say something different.
Thank you, Sara. You shared with us some really useful tips. I have to agree with you with the energizers and reactions that are on Zoom. You know, sometimes I remember that I participated in some sessions, and actually from Global Changemakers, they would share, you need to imitate one of the reactions, you know, you need to do this emoji. And that brings a lot of energy to the session, especially something that is normally, you know, not as engaging as being in person. So I do remember this experience quite well, and it was very, very fun. So maybe, I don't know if Deepika or Marwan would like to share any insights regarding facilitation online.
Okay. So, the first thing about, the COVID had turned, you know, everything upside down on with people meeting online, almost everything, but it was a good opportunity to learn new skills And the first thing that I personally do while managing groups online is that I need to plan with my team ahead and set the particular objectives and expected outcomes so that we are ready to manage the groups online in an online platform. And when we, just to add on Sarah's point, she has already mentioned a lot of very good tips. So after knowing the platform very well, we need to make sure that we are not as in session facilitators or as in program initiators, we need to take care that we are not monotonous in just speaking. We need to allow engagement, encourage participation, and the most important thing that I feel is that we can, if the sessions are a little long, don't forget to give breaks, because that would allow people to just grab all the things that they have learned and come back with a new kind of energy. So and then online energizers are there. There are a lot of fun online tools as well that we can use, such as there is Miro boards, which allows us to write, engage together, build word clouds, as Mentimeters are their tools, and build different skills, do Q&As during meetings. So we can explore some online tools as well that would be fun while engaging people online. And because we are in different parts of the world, as we had to do today, we need also to be aware about the time zones, because people are from different parts of the world. And if we are doing things online, we need to be aware of the time zones and be flexible and adaptable to any, people who are in different parts of the world, and then communicate effectively.
Yeah, maybe to add a final word, as Sarah also said, when you're online, sometimes you can't necessarily get as many visual cues on how people are engaging as you can when you're doing an event face to face, and it's sometimes harder to know if somebody is starting to disconnect or starting to lose interest. And I think one of the things that you can do to help prevent that is try to really maximize the number of interactions that you have with people. And this could be through simple things like if you have a lot of people, having simple polls where they can answer questions and see the results show up on the screen, stuff like that. So really to make sure that they keep interacting with what is going on. And another point I would say is, it's better to make smaller groups, because of the way Zoom and other tools like those work, it's hard to have a sort of natural flowing dialogue between a large group of people as you can have when you're doing things face to face. And so one solution to that is really to create, for example, on Zoom, those breakout rooms. We have fewer people, sometimes even down to three or four people, so that they're able to really communicate, hear each other, and that everybody gets a chance to speak, especially people who are maybe a little bit more shy and less comfortable speaking out.
Thank you, Marwan. That is such an important point, because not everyone feels as comfortable speaking, right? Everyone has different preferences. So it's also good to come up with these other tools and platforms that can be helpful for that. Before we move on to the next question, we have a request from one of the members of the audience. I think whether it is a question or you would like to share your experience, please go ahead, and please correct me if I mispronounce your name, Rugare. Rugare, please go ahead. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Thank you so much. I've been just following through the conversation and felt maybe I should just add one or two things from my experiences. I am Rugare and I'm from Zimbabwe. And I work with young people, just educating them about sexual and reproductive health rights. So some of the things that that have really worked for me, especially regarding virtual team management, is the use of interactive software. And for me, I've used one called Mentimeter, where you can ask questions. You can actually prepare a question, and then you share a link during the live session with your group, in the chat box, for example, and then you ask them to, you know, answer, to add in their contributions using that link. So, you know, the moment somebody types in their contribution, automatically it pops up as a word cloud. So, you know, it's really interesting for the young people that I work with that, you know, we've asked a question and they are answering and they can see their answer pop up, you know, on the word cloud and everyone is able to read it out. So it has really promoted participation and it has really worked for me from this end. And also I noticed that when using Zoom, you know, young the community that I work with, they love it when I read out the comments that they put in the chat box. You know, that acknowledgement to say, oh, this young person said this, it actually encouraged their participation and you see more contributions and reflections trickling in the chat box after reading some. And then the last one, this one depends on the kind of relationship you have with your community. So I use Comic Relief. For example, I know all the young people that I work with by name. So sometimes I just call out their name, you know, and say, I'm volunteering on your behalf to say something. And they laugh out loud and then they share their contribution. So of course, this one is context-based. How well do you know your audience? Do you relate at a personal level? And if so, this could actually work for you as well. So yeah, thank you for the platform. I think that's it from me.
Thank you so much for sharing your experience. These have been brilliant comments. They relate a lot to the last point from Marwan, right? Like using these tools such as Mentimeter in order for those who might not feel as comfortable speaking, they can share their ideas by writing in the platform. And then, as you mentioned, the web cloud would appear. So that's definitely an amazing tool. Thank you so, so much for taking the floor and sharing it with us. Maybe I would just like to open it again at the floor to either Sana, Courtney, Deepika, Marwan. Do you have anything to add to what our speaker has just mentioned?
Thank you so much for sharing. And because you're talking and your activism is on sexual and reproductive health, which is something that I think is incredibly important. I just wanted to add something that it might be, like you were saying, it depends on the context. So in this particular context, sometimes people will be a little shy to share what they think or ask a question. So providing a space so that people can ask questions anonymously, I think is very important. So you can say, you can ask a question in private and anonymously so that you don't feel like you're out there. It's important because you don't want to ask something that happened to you or someone close to you and you don't want to say it in front of everyone, or you feel like you're a minority in a particular group. So that is, yeah, reading your context and understanding who they are, what you're talking about, and what could help them move the conversation. Sometimes you will have groups that will not talk at all, and you might feel a little disappointed or frustrated that no one spoke, but that sometimes happens, and it's not because they were not engaged, but they were shy to express what they were thinking or feeling. So just to, like, to be comfortable while you're a little uncomfortable and not having a continuous interaction is also okay. Being comfortable with silence is important when facilitating.
Thank you so much, Sara. Yes, definitely agree with you. And as you mentioned, the context is important. Another important characteristic of an activist should be able to adapt to the context, right? And know your team and know the topic you're talking about. So that is very, very helpful. Thank you so much for sharing these insights. So far, the conversation has been amazing. Thank you so much for sharing, everyone, your experience. We're moving towards the end, and there's an important thing to share. Global Changemakers actually has a course on facilitation tools for changemakers. So for the audience that is interested in learning much more about these tools and techniques, this course actually has this for you. And we are very grateful to have here with our speakers, two persons that were involved in the creation of this course. So I would like to hear from Sara and Courtney. Could you please share a little bit with us about this course? What are its contents and what is it about?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually literally used the course last month, that event that I was telling you guys about where I was working with those very heavy topics. We initially didn't have an energizer planned in the program. And as we were kind of assessing the energy of the room and what was happening, we were like, okay, we're going to need to do an energizer. And so the first thing I did, I pulled out my phone, I went to the facilitation course, and I was searching through the lists of energizers and activities on there to choose what we were going to do with the group. So that then let me introduce the course, I guess, from that point. So the Global Changemakers Facilitation course has an introduction on a lot of what we've been talking about today, a lot of the content that we've covered, how to facilitate, how to analyze group dynamics, what to be mindful of. It also has a section on virtual facilitation, if I'm not mistaken. And then a lot of the course is teaching you how all the different energizers for team building, ice breaking, how to make the energy a focused energy, how to raise the energy levels to an excited energy, how to, you know, all these different energizers that we've spoken about today as a panel, and all the energizers that we've used at Global Youth Summits in the past, and energizers that I use very frequently, are available in the course. So you can kind of see it almost as like an app in a sense. So the course part is you learn the skills around facilitation, and then you kind of use it as, at least how I use it, I almost use it as an app to find energizers. And I literally used it last month. We pulled up the course and I was looking through the different activities to choose one that would be most effective. And with all of those energizers, they have a video describing it, as well as a video of what it looks like. And then there's also a written description. So you can use all three of those tools to learn how to facilitate them. Sara, did I miss anything? I'm trying to think.
Something that perhaps you didn't mention is that all the videos there are downloadable. And that means that if, for example, you're doing a workshop in a place where you won't have internet, you can download all the contents and then you have it on your phone and you can use them easily. You have that general part of the explanation of both facilitating in person and online. We have even a whole section on doing really cool presentations, and it covers from cool fonts and how to do them, how to do animations, how to do like everything PowerPoint. And that was something that we added that is really cool and can help you even if you're only doing a presentation. And everything about group dynamics online and in person. I feel like you said I've also had the same experience in which I'm like, okay, things are not working well. What can I do to move the energy? And then I start looking at the list, and it's classified by category. So you can say, no, I need something to pump up the energy. A high energy energizer. It also explains when and how to use them and in which kinds of groups. So, for example, they will tell you this specific energizer, you can do them with smaller groups because you'll need this amount of time, right? Or this is an icebreaker for people that have never seen each other before, and you can use it with large groups. So that is also explained. It's very easy to understand, to follow, and you can use them for life, as I was saying before, because it's something that you don't take this course and then forget it, but you go back and understand something different or need something different for an event or for a presentation. So I highly advise you that if you work with groups or with teams and would like to know more about how group dynamics work and what energizers to use, this is the place where you can get a lot of information it's all explained in a written form, and courts does most of the explanations, and we have examples of real young people doing the energizers and being silly and having fun. And the course is also available in Spanish, if you would rather use it in that language.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Yeah, I think you mentioned a lot of key points. The fact that, you have the videos of someone showing you how to do it, it's also very helpful, because now we're sharing with you our experiences, but nothing compares to you actually seeing how to do it. Sometimes, you know, like your face expression, your body expressions are also very important to guide this type of tools and techniques. So yes, please go ahead. And if you're interested, you can look out for more information in Global Changemakers website, globalchangemakers.net. So don't miss out on this opportunity. And we're also heading towards the end of the session. Remember that if you have any questions or you would like to share your opinion, you can just request to speak, and I will gladly share with you the floor. But heading towards the end, I would just like to hear one final message from all the speakers. I would like to encourage you to share with us overall, what are your key facilitation tips and recommendations? So let's start with Marwan. Marwan, what is your closing message for people that are listening to us today?
I would say I have two recommendations. The first one is practical, something technical, is when you're facilitating, you have maybe an idea for an exercise or a game or a setup or something like this. It always sounds a lot clearer in your head than it does to other people, especially if you're working with a group of people who aren't used to doing a lot of, you know, team building or ice breaking or energizer activities. So what I would really recommend is think through about how you're going to present all those things that you're going to do during your workshop or your event or whatever, and don't hesitate before to try it on friends and family members, just to see if they understand, because I've seen it happen a lot, and it's happened to me sometimes as well, when, you know, you have this great idea and then you go and you try to explain it, and you know, you realize you really have to think a bit more about how to explain it so that it gets through to people, and that sometimes ends up, you know, costing you a little bit of time. So that's for the practical tip. The other thing I would say is those are skills. So you improve yourself by practicing them. So what I would say is more often than not, try to say yes. If you have an opportunity to work with any sort of group, whether it's to be a participant to see how other people are working, whether it's to be organizing a group yourself, no matter how small or big or anything like this, I would say just say yes. And jump into it, even if you don't feel the most confident in the beginning, because that's really the only way that you sort of can accelerate your learning of group management skills and that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Marwan. Deepika, we would like to hear from you. Which is your closing message on key facilitation tips and recommendations?
So first, I would say that the GCM facilitation toolkit is an amazing treasure for every young people. It actually becomes your best friend if you're looking for tools and activities that would help you in any forms of facilitation. So just go ahead and just explore the toolkit. And for my closing message, I would like to share four things. So four key facilitation tips that I always remember for myself. The first one is, adding on to Marwan, after being prepared, know your audience. Know the type of setting that you are going to be in, the age group, you know, the type of people that you are going to be interacting with, the background of the people, so that you can plan and use the effective tools based upon your audience, so that your program goes on smoothly. The second thing that is, trust your team, because that is who you are working with, and prepare you with your team, and during the process, trust your team while going on. The third is always have a what if plan. So this is something that works for my team, is that the what if plan. So what if something goes wrong? So just be prepared in the beginning. For instance, what if the connection goes off? So have a plan for it, so that if it happens, I hope it doesn't, but if it happens, what can we do in that particular stage without panicking? So always have a what if plan. Plan it, set up a list of what ifs, and then so that you can have your program going smoothly. And finally, enjoy the process. You know, your body language, your tone, your energy actually matters very much. So if you're nervous or awkward, your audience will be the same. But if you're open and vibrant, and if you have a lot of energy, if you're smiling, then your audience will feel the same. So always enjoy the process that you're being a part of. So yeah, and finally, I just wanted to share one last thing, is that the thing that I have heard from someone is that trick your brain when you are doing any forms of facilitation or if you're nervous, because you know, it is said that our brain does not know the difference between nervousness and excitement. So it functions in the same manner as it is nervous or excited. So just trick your brain thinking that, okay, I'm very excited instead of nervous, so that it will function in that particular way. Just enjoy the process and have a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Pika. That's really good advice. We need to enjoy everything we're doing and have fun while doing it. And Courtney, we would also like to hear from you.
Thank you so much. I think there's very little to be said from my side beyond what you two have said, fantastic points. But I think something that was particularly interesting for me, and I think it comes into play when you are facilitating groups that are from different backgrounds and different cultures. I think something that I've learned through my experience over the last few years is the impact that culture has on our communication. And so, for example, in certain cultures, people would be a lot more comfortable speaking up and sharing their perspectives, whereas in other cultures, they might not be, and they might need you to prompt them. And so reading up a little bit, if you are going into an intercultural facilitation setting, just about, you know, how you can make sure that everyone's voices are heard. And I think learning techniques around making sure that everyone can have a say, you know, perhaps they might be shy, or they might, as all of us I'm sure have experienced, have imposter syndrome and feel like their voices, you know, or their input is not important. But diversity is incredibly important in creating strong solutions to the challenges that we face and that we're tackling as change makers. So I think if you are in those settings, really looking a little bit into the impact of culture, and that's actually Sada, that's a very important lesson that I learned from Sada. She really spent a lot of time helping me develop those skills and that that awareness. And then again, just to echo what Deepika said, the Global Changemakers Facilitation course is really worth it. It's worth it. I use it often in my facilitation. It really takes a lot of the time out of processes. You can very quickly pull it out in an event, pull up different energizers, say, okay, let's lift the energy, let's focus the energy, let's help them get to know each other, let's do a team building activity, and it's at a moment's notice. So I would really encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to check out that incredible resource.
Thank you very much, Courtney. And finally, Sarah, we would love to hear from you.
Well, thanks, Court, for all the nice things that you're saying about me. But I think it's hard. Everyone has said incredibly important things. So I guess the only thing that perhaps hasn't been mentioned is not being afraid as a facilitator to be vulnerable. So, for example, what Deepika was saying, if you're feeling nervous, you can also say, you can trick your brain, yes, but you can say to the audience, hey, I'm super excited, but I'm also a little nervous, and I'm sorry if I make a mistake, but I'm doing my best. When you say that out loud, you're going to feel less nervous and you're going to feel more comfortable, because you'll know that other people will have a little bit more empathy, because they'll be like, oh yes, if I were in that position, I would also be a little nervous of addressing this amount of people or doing this particular event. Or if I would be addressing the group on this particular topic that is a little uncomfortable. You can say it, okay, this got a little awkward. Let's move on to this, or let's change things to that. So making it explicit when you're nervous, when things are not comfortable, when things are not going the way you plan, is okay, because people are not expecting perfection. And I feel that there is, it is a good time in right now to be a little bit more vulnerable. People are not anymore expecting everything to be 100% perfect, and that's great. I feel that the world is changing towards a more compassionate one. So I feel that is an important point to just relax and say, yes, oh, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, let me rephrase this. Or if, for example, with gender pronouns, you made a mistake with someone saying, I'm so sorry, I slipped, I'm sorry, let's start again, and you can repeat it. And I'm sure that people will receive that genuinely, because if it is genuine, it will come across. So not being afraid of being vulnerable, making mistakes, asking for forgiveness, or saying you're sorry if you did something that was not right, and moving on and continuing with the exercise, with the event, or whatever it is that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I would rescue this last point. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be afraid of making mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. Let's learn from them and let's do our best. Sadly, now we have reached the end of this event, but we really hope that this has been helpful for you at the step of your activism this year. Please also make sure to check the valuable resources that Global Changemakers has for you online. And thank you once again to all our speakers for being here today, sharing your insights, your experiences with everyone in the audience. Thank you, Sarah, Courtney, Deepika, Marwan, and thank you for everyone who connected and listened to us today. Stay tuned for future events from Global Changemakers. Thank you very much.